Well, it's hard to exaggerate how influential Silent Spring has proved to be in the half century since it was published. With Rachel Carson's death so soon after publication, her editors had to look to someone else to write a follow-up, and in 1970, that man was Frank Graham. Frank Graham has been the field editor for the Audubon magazine for the last 40 years, and in a volume called Since Silent Spring, he documents how pesticide legislation changed in the wake of Rachel Carson's work. He joins us now on the line to recall those times. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Well, nice to be here, Steve.
How widely used were chemicals like DDT back in the 1940s and 50s, before Rachel Carson published Silent Spring?
Their use was not only on farms, but I think what began to get some people very much concerned about it was the fact that it was also in towns and in neighborhoods. There used to be these spray trucks which would come around, especially with the onset of the Dutch elm disease and other problems with leaf-eating insects. And these trucks would come along, and you'd see children following the spray trucks down the street. It was kind of like seeing the fire engines come into your neighborhood. So everything was being drenched with this. People on universities, campuses, and so on would see and would notice that birds were just practically dropping out of the trees, dead.
So in the U.S., how would you say that the pesticide use has changed since Rachel Carson's book came out?
Pesticide use has increased. Of course, since her time, there are more people in the world, there are more areas to use pesticides in. I think we use over a billion pounds a year in the U.S. alone. We all have small amounts of these pesticides in our bodies. Much of the research has been quite suggestive that there might be, for instance, long-term reproductive effects in males of the human species. There are enough warning signs going up to show that there are perhaps some serious problems ahead of us.
So what do you think needs to happen now in terms of pesticide use?
One of the interesting things about Carson's book was that at the end she had a chapter on taking the other road, investigating seriously alternatives to pesticide use. And I think in recent years, a lot of that has been attempted and with considerable success in some areas. For instance, under the name Integrated Pest Management, where pesticides are used to some extent, but much lower doses than were used originally, but with other techniques, for instance, the use of predator insects or parasites against the pest organisms.
So when Silent Spring came out, is it fair to say that it was the first hard look at these chemicals and their potential dangers for the public?
Yes, it was. Most people were completely, I think, unaware of that. Almost all of the material she came out before that was positive about DDT and some of these other chemicals. So what Carson's idea was just to, she began to hear stories as she went around and talked to other scientists and so on, and no one was really willing to stick their neck out. She did not want to write this book herself. She was a very private person. She knew that the consequences would be a furious attack on her. And she actually spoke to several other people trying to get them to write the book, but no one else was either qualified or was willing to take it on.
It almost goes without saying that Rachel Carson's book did not cheer the chemical industry.
No, it was a rather serious attack against them, yes.
What kinds of things did they do and say?
Well, there was a tremendous public relations attack on Carson. She was accused of hysteria, as being a sort of high priestess of nature, as she was called. I think she was ridiculed also as a woman, you know, sticking her nose into some area where she wasn't really invited. And I remember one of the federal meetings, one of the entomologists got up and said that Rachel Carson should not be concerned about something like this. After all, she's a spinster, so these genetics don't concern her, but reproductive losses and so on. There was a lot of snide and actually vicious comments. She called her all kinds of names, including, I think the most scathing one was that she was a bird watcher.
Oh, my. We know about them, don't we?
We know, yeah.
Today, we hear a lot about scientists feeling intimidated by industries that don't like their results. How do you think the atmosphere for scientists today compares to what Rachel Carson encountered 50 years ago?
Well, I think there's a peculiar sameness about it. I know, for instance, several scientists who have done studies on global climate change have come under severe attack from a lot of these people. One man apparently had somebody laid a dead rat on his doorstep, and there were things like that, and they've come under a lot of pressure.
So how do you sum up the importance of Rachel Carson's Silent Spring for the environmental movement for this nation?
I think it had a great effect in some areas, perhaps beyond pesticides. It made people aware of air pollution, water pollution. I think it certainly led to the creation of the EPA and other agencies like that. It just opened up the whole issue of pollution.
Frank Graham is an editor with the Audubon Society and wrote the follow-up to Rachel Carson's work entitled Since Silent Spring. Thanks so much, Frank, for taking this time.
Okay, thank you, Steve.